Hi, welcome to the Consulting and Conversations podcast at UBS Financial Services, Inc., Private Wealth Management Division in West Palm Beach. My name is Mary Galemo, and I'm a financial advisor on our team. Today, I have with me John Cashier-Nuovo, a private wealth advisor and one of the senior members on our team. Hi, John.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great.
As we get into the episode today, we're going to cover an important topic: questions you should be asking your financial advisor or prospective financial advisor. Through asking these questions, you should be able to get a feel if they're a good fit for you and your financial needs. All right, let's dive in. If you are looking to hire a financial advisor, there are a few key points you should look out for: experience and background, type of clients the advisor currently works with, compensation, long-term perspective, and organization of which they are a part. We will break these key points down as we go. Kicking it off, John, can you touch on experience and background and what they should be looking out for?
Yeah, I would say first and foremost, obviously, you know, in choosing an advisor, you want to look at the, you know, what experience that they have, the length that they've been in the business, and the types of clients that they work with. I mean, those are all very important. I sometimes try to draw the analogy of, it's like if you've ever had the opportunity to build a home, your own home, and work with a contractor. I mean, yes, costs are part of the equation, but it's also identifying, you know, what's the experience. You're not going to hire somebody to build your home, which is for most people the largest investment they're ever going to make. You're not going to hire somebody to do that has only built one or two houses. So I would advise people take a similar approach if they identify with that connection, in that you want somebody that has experience. You know, a lot of times when we're introduced to clients, it's from other clients. And a lot of times that's what people will do, is they'll ask their friends, well, who are you working with? And that type of introduction or referral. But it definitely, experience is an important key to that. I wouldn't put a length of time with that, other than that's definitely going to take some in-depth questioning and analysis with the clients. Just because somebody has 20 years versus somebody who has 10 years doesn't necessarily make one better than the other. It really requires some more in-depth conversation, which I'm sure we'll go into as we discuss this topic.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, length of service plays a part. But again, like you said, I think kind of getting into the details of, you know, where have they been for that whole time? What has been their experience in the industry? And then, of course, depending on the client, what they're looking for, what have they worked with similar types of clients, is very important. On that same note, how does the type of client the advisor currently works with play a role?
Well, it definitely plays an important role. I think we also, when you talk about type of client, getting back to the building a house analogy, is, do you really, if you're building, there's a difference, and it has nothing to do with the experience or qualifications of the builder or advisor, as the topic we're saying, but you're not necessarily, if you're building a home and you're building a large, expensive home, you're not necessarily going to go to a builder who specializes in smaller or less expensive homes. That doesn't mean that the builder who builds smaller or large, less expensive homes is any less experienced or better or worse than the one that builds the higher end homes. But there's different components that go into that. And it's the same when you're looking at an advisor in terms of your asset and wealth management, is you want to identify an advisor that has experience with clients that have a similar asset and wealth profile that you might have. That doesn't mean that advisors that are working with a client that, let's say, has a $2 million net worth versus one that has a $100 million net worth are any less experienced or better or worse. It's not a quality kind of issue. It's the components. There's a difference between when we start doing an asset allocation, and what makes up the components of that asset allocation are going to be different with somebody who has, say, $2 million versus somebody that has $100 million or even a family office client. It's going to be a totally different makeup. And in building that portfolio, just like in building that home, you want the person, the general contractor, the advisor, to have experience on the knowledge of what those components are, to make sure that the components are the right ones that go into building that portfolio.
That makes a lot of sense. So what you're saying is when a client is out there or a family is out there looking for an advisor that would fit with them, it's really important to step back, kind of assess your family situation, your wealth level, what your needs are, and make sure you're finding a financial advisor that has had experience with similar families. And make sure you're asking those challenging questions to make sure that you fit with a similar, with their book and what they've worked with.
Exactly.
Can you break down compensation? So fee percentage, flat fee, brokerage commissions, and so forth?
Sure. I mean, obviously, again, when you're entering into a relationship with an advisor, you want to understand, there's going to be a cost involved. But I think everybody's aware of that. But, what is that cost? What does that look like? How is a client assessed for that? And it can vary. It definitely warrants questions and questioning by the prospective client in interviewing the advisor. It's like, what does that look like? Every advisor should be prepared to disclose their fee arrangement and how they're compensated with a client. Any reluctance or inability to do that to me would be a red flag, because it's very well documented and can be supplied to the clients. I mean, typically, it's a fee arrangement based on a percentage fee based on the assets that are under management, but that can also vary as well. There are certain products within the investment world that are sold on a commission basis. So you want to be aware of that as well. They might not be based on that portfolio that's assessed a fee as a percentage of the assets under management. So there are different components. You want to understand that. But any advisor that one is speaking to should be able to produce the documentation and disclose that to the client, and that should be done upfront.
Yeah, and to carry off what you said, I agree that I think there should be full transparency around fees. And when talking with an advisor, to get a feel for them, make sure there's no hesitancy on their side when they go to discuss fees. And then when they get into something that's more of a commission basis, being able to fully understand that product and know that the benefits outweigh the commission fee on that product, and there's a reason they're still putting you in it, and being able to have that advisor explain it to you is really important.
Correct. And it should also be noted that there's not one that's better than the other. I mean, if you're paying for the advice based on purely on a percentage fee of assets under management, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's better than brokerage, a commission type basis. It's some products are only available on a brokerage type basis. So you want to clarify that with the advisor. I know that there are providers out there that might advertise that we're paid on a percentage of assets under management. So we only benefit if you benefit. But it's pretty standard in the industry that most firms are providing asset management on a percentage fee basis. That's not unique to any one provider or even a few providers. I mean, that's pretty standard, but there are certain situations. There may be certain products that are only available to the client on a commission type basis. But again, you want to clarify that with the advisor. You want to understand that, and the advisor should be able to explain that.
Right. Yep. Does it make one better or worse? I think they all have a place in different portfolios depending on the client and what they need. When looking at an advisor or an advisor team, how important would you say is the team's long-term perspective?
So when you say long-term perspective, let's clarify that in terms of an investment horizon and their outlook and how they're going to approach the management of the assets, or the longevity of the team itself.
I think both are important to cover. Let's first talk on maybe how the advisor would look at the investment time horizon, and then we can pivot to the other question.
Well, you definitely want to understand that. But at the same time, the advisor, that's an important topic to discuss, but the advisor should come back with a question to the prospective client on identifying and quantifying what the investor's time horizon is. Every client is going to be different, and how we approach it is exactly like that. We do not take the approach that we have one outlook. We have one approach to asset management in terms of what we do. Because we are part of the private wealth management division and dealing with a smaller number of clients, we are able to customize our approach to our clients based on each client's needs. And that's what we do. And that's what you would want as a prospective client. You don't want necessarily, a client situation might be totally different. And, most of our clients and, in talking to prospective clients, I mean, they work very hard to accumulate the assets that they have. So it's our responsibility to go ahead and make sure that we manage those in the most appropriate way for them and what their outlook is. And every client's going to have a different outlook. Every client's going to have a different situation. They might have an immediate liquidity need that's coming up in the next 12 months. There might be college tuition to pay. There might be a big wedding, a big family event. There might be a big purchase, such as a new home. There could be a multitude of things, but then you could also have a situation where it's really just producing income for the client to continually maintain their lifestyle on. Other clients might feel it's more important to put emphasis on how much they leave to the next generation or to a worthwhile charity. All those things are very valid and true situations, but it's going to drive what the perspective is in terms of our outlook and how we're going to manage those assets for the client.
Yeah, I think that was a really important point because, again, when you're searching for an investment advisor, financial advisor, I think it's important to know that you should be receiving customized advice based on what you and your family need and what you want for future generations instead of just being given, a cookie cutter allocation. So that's definitely important to look out for.
Right.
Flipping to the other question, so how important would you say is the team's long-term perspective in terms of the team's longevity?
Well, certainly entering into a wealth management advisory relationship with, an advisor or advisory team is not something that people want to work on a yearly basis. You're looking at a long-term relationship, so you want to make sure obviously that you're comfortable with the people that you're talking to, but also that there's longevity on that team. Yes, you want the experience, but you also want to know that are the people that I'm working with, talking to, meeting with my advisory team, are they going to be here in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years? So you really want to take the perspective of, what's the makeup of that team in terms of the ability to stay in the industry and continue to be here 15, 20 years from now. Because it's not just about the relationship with the prospective client. It's a long-term relationship with that family. So once the client even passes on and passes the assets to the next generation, you want to make sure that advisory team is going to be around to work with the next generation.
Yeah, I definitely think the ideal situation, especially with clients like ours, where it's typically generational wealth, is to house that longevity because you really get to know the families, you really get to understand what their preferences are, what their goals are. And so being able to have a longstanding relationship for years and truly generations to come is key.
Yes.
And lastly, what would you say is the importance of the organization of which the advisor or advisor team is a part of?
I think it's very important, but I want to put that in context too, because you bring up a very good question. Yes, you want to have access. And again, getting back to the whole builder analogy, depending on what type of home you're building, you want to know that your contractor, so depending on what type of portfolio you're building or whatever, you want to know that they have access to all the tools, all the components that are going to make this house, this portfolio, really a strong structure that's going to survive for many years to come. So the organization that the advisory team is part of and what they have access to in terms of those tools, those components, and again, we're talking about assets and the investment menu that we have access to, and the depth of the firm and the ability to go ahead and deliver those to the client is very important. And what is an advisory team, as good as any advisory team is only going to be as good as what they have access to. And definitely here at UBS, being a global wealth management firm, you know, with you know, divisions that are literally around the world, gives us access to a very long and deep menu of investment products that, you know, we have the ability, and it's our job to understand those and then identify what's best for the clients that we're working with. So I definitely, that's very important.
Yeah, I think that's great insight. Well, I want to thank you, John, for providing this insight on to look out for and those important questions to ask. As we mentioned, the relationship with your financial advisor is certainly an important one, and hopefully one that lasts for many years and into future generations. Before I let you go, I think it's time to ask my fun question of the day. If you could have dinner with anyone alive or past, who would it be?
I would say Robert F. Kennedy. And the reason for that is at the time when he was running for president in 1968 and was assassinated, as we all know, that was a very major turning point culturally in this country and in the world. And I would definitely want to understand better, you know, what his, I mean, as much as he talked about what his outlook was when he was on the campaign trail, I often wonder what it would have been like if he continued to run for president and possibly have gotten elected, and to really in depth and understand the person. Because again, it was a very, I think, a major turning point culturally for us in this country at that time.
Great answer. I want to thank our listeners for tuning in to another episode of Consulting and Conversations. You can find our podcast on Apple and Spotify, and we look forward to connecting with you all again soon.
Thank you, Mary.
Thanks, John.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.